The gnomes looked expectantly at Grimmer. "The thing to remember," she said, "is that it's just a machine, just a sort of truck. But when you first see it, it can be rather frightening. So hold on to small children's hands and run smartly backwards when the tarpaulin comes down." There was a chorus of nods. "All right, grab hold." 600 gnomes spat on their hands and grasped the edge of the heavy sheet. "When I say pull, I want you to pull." The gnomes took the strain. "Pull!" The creases in the tarpaulin flattened out and disappeared. "Pull!" It began to move. Then, as it slid over Jacob's angular shape, its own weight started to tug at it. "Run!" It came down like an oily green avalanche, piling up into a mountain of folds, but no one bothered about it because the sun shone through the dusty cobwebbed windows and made Jacob glow. Several gnomes screamed. Mothers picked up their children. There was a movement towards the doors. "It does look like a head," Grimmer thought, "on a long neck. And he's got another one at the other end." "What am I saying? It has got another one at the other end." "It's all right," she shouted over the rising din. "Look, it's not even moving." "Hey," shouted another voice. She looked up. Newty and Sacco had climbed out along Jacob's neck and were sitting there waving cheerfully. That did it. The tide of gnomes reached the wall and stopped. You always feel foolish running away from something that isn't chasing you. They hesitated and then slowly inched their way back.
"Well, well," said Granny Morky, hobbling forward. "So that's what they look like, I always wondered."
Grimmer stared at her. What look like?
"All the big diggers," said Granny. "They'd all gone when I was born, but our dad saw 'em. Great big yellow things with teeth that ate dirt," he said. "I always thought he was just having me on."
Jacob was still not eating people. Some of the more adventurous gnomes started to climb on him.
"It was when the motorway was built," Granny went on, leaning on her stick. "They were all over the place," Dad said. "Big yellow things with teeth and knobbly tires."
Grimmer stared at her with the kind of expression reserved for people who turn out against all expectation to have interesting and secret histories.
"And there was others too," the old woman went on. "Things that shoved dirt in heaps and everything. This would have been, 15 years ago now. Never thought I'd see one."
Jacob was covered with young gnomes now. Grimmer could see Dorcas in the back of the cab explaining what various levers did. And she thought, I wonder if Dorcas is right. Perhaps everything was made, some bits early, some bits later. You start with hills and clouds and things, and then you add roads and stores. Perhaps the job of humans is to make the world, and they're still doing it. That's why the machines have to suit them. Gerda would have understood this sort of thing. I wish he was back, she thought. And then Masklin would be back too. She tried to think about something else. Knobbly tyres, that was a good start. Jacob's back wheels were nearly as high as a human. It doesn't need roads. Of course it doesn't. It makes roads. So it has to be able to go where roads aren't. She pushed her way through the crowds to the back of the cab, where another group of gnomes were already gnome-handling a plank into position, and scrambled up to where Dorcas was trying to make himself heard in the middle of an excited crowd. "You're going to drive this out of here?" she demanded. He looked up. "Oh, yeah," he said happily. "I think so. I hope so. I imagine we've got at least an hour before any more humans come, and it's not a lot different to a truck."
"We know how to do it," shouted one of the younger gnomes. "My dad told me all about the strings and stuff."
Grimmer looked around the cab. It seemed to be full of levers. It had been more than half a year since the long drive, and she'd never taken much notice of mechanical things, but she couldn't help thinking the old lorry cab had been a lot less crowded. There'd been some pedals and a lever and the steering wheel, and that had been about it. She turned back to Dorcas. "Are you sure?" she said doubtfully. "No," he said. "You know, I'm never sure, but a lot of the controls are for the bucket, the thing with the teeth in it at the end of his neck. I mean, the digging bits. We needn't bother with them. They're amazingly ingenious, though, and all you have to do... Where's everyone going to sit? There isn't much room."
Dorcas shrugged.
I suppose the older people can travel in the cab. The youngsters will have to hang on where they can. We can wrap wires and things around the place. For handholds, I mean. Look, don't worry. We'll be driving in the light and we don't have to go fast.
And then we'll get to the barn, won't we, Dorcas? Said Newty. Where it'll be warm and there's lots of food.
I hope so, said Dorcas. Now, let's get on with things. We haven't got much time. Where's Sacco with the battery? Grimmer thought. Will there be lots of food at the barn? Where did we get that idea? Angelo said that turnips or something were stored up there, and there may be some potatoes. That's not exactly a feast. Her stomach, thinking thoughts of its own, rumbled in disagreement. It had been a very long night to pass on a tiny piece of sandwich. Anyway, we can't stay here now. Anywhere will be better than here. Dorcas, she said, is there anything I can help with? He looked up. You can read the instruction book, he said. See if it says how to drive it.
Don't you know?
Not in so many words. Not exactly. I mean, I know how to do it. It's just that I don't know what to do.
The book was under the bench on one side of the shed. Grimmer propped it up and tried to concentrate above the noise. I bet he does know, she thought. But this is his moment and he doesn't want me getting in the way. The gnomes moved like people with a purpose. Things were far too bad to spend time grumbling. Funny thing, she thought as she turned the grubby pages, that people only seem to stop complaining when things get really bad. That's when they start using words like pulling together, shoulders to the wheel, and noses to the grindstone. She'd found nose to the grindstone in a book. Apparently it meant to get on with things. She didn't see why people were supposed to work hard if you ground their noses. It seemed more likely that they'd work hard if you promised to grind their noses if they didn't. She turned the page. There was a big brown ring on this one where a human had put down a cup. Across the floor, a group of gnomes swarmed past around the slowly moving bulk of the battery. They were rolling it on rusty ball bearings. The can of fuel wobbled past after it. Grimmer stared at the pictures of levers with numbers on. Suddenly, people were keen on the barn. Suddenly, when things were not just averagely awful, but promising to be really dreadful, they seemed almost happy. Masklin had known about that. It's amazing what people would do, he said, if you found the right place to push. She stared at the pages and tried to get interested in levers. The clouds running before the sun were spreading across the pink of the sky. Red sky in the morning, Grimmer had read once. It meant people who kept sheep were happy, or not happy, or perhaps it was cows. In the dark office, the human awoke, mooed for a while, and tried to jerk free of the cobweb of wires that held it down. After a lot of effort, it wriggled most of one arm free. It caught hold of a chair, and with a great deal of grunting, managed to tip it over. It pulled it across the floor, manipulated the leg under a couple of strands of wire, and heaved. A minute later, it was sitting upright, pulling more wires free. Its huge eyes fell on the scrap of paper on the floor. It stared at it for a moment, rubbing its arms, and then it picked up the telephone. Dorcas prodded vaguely at a wire.
"Are you sure the battery's connected the right way round, sir?" said Sacco.
"I can tell the difference between red wires and black wires, you know," said Dorcas mildly, prodding another wire.
"Then perhaps the battery doesn't have enough electricity,"
said Grimmer helpfully, trying to see over their shoulders.
"Perhaps it's all run to the bottom or gone dry."
Dorcas and Sacco exchanged glances. "Electricity doesn't sink," said Dorcas patiently, "or dry up, as far as I know. It's either there or it isn't. Excuse me." He peered up into the mass of wires again and gave one a poke. There was a pop and a fat blue spark. "It's there, all right," he added. "It's just that it isn't where it should be."
Grimmer walked back across the greasy floor of the cab. Groups of gnomes were standing around, waiting. Hundreds of them were clutching the strings lashed to the big steering wheel above them. Other teams stood by with bits of wood pressing like battering rams on the pedals.
"Just a bit of a delay," she said. "All the electricity's got lost."
There were gnomes everywhere. On the long drive, there'd been a whole truck for them, but Jacob's cab was smaller, and people had to pack themselves in where they could. What a ragged bunch, Grimmer thought. And it was true. Even in the sudden rush from the store, the gnomes had been able to bring quite a lot of stuff.
and they'd been plump and well-dressed. Now they were thinner and leaner and much dirtier, and all they were taking with them were the torn and grubby clothes they stood up in. Even the books had been left behind. A dozen books took up the space of 3 dozen gnomes, and while Grimmer privately thought that some of the books were more useful than many of the gnomes, she'd accepted Dorcas's promise that they would come back one day and try to retrieve them from their hiding place under the floor. Well, thought Grimmer, we tried. We really made an effort. We came to the quarry to dig in, look after ourselves, live proper lives, and we failed. We thought all we had to do was bring the right things from the store, but we brought a lot of wrong things too. This time, we'll need to go as far away from humans as possible. Well, I don't actually think anywhere is far enough. She climbed up onto the rickety driving platform, which had been made by tying a plank across the cab. There were even gnomes on this. They watched her expectantly. At least driving Jacob should be easier. The leaders of the teams on the controls could see her, so she wouldn't have to mess around with semaphore and bits of thread like they'd done when they left the store. And a lot of the gnomes had done this before, too. She heard Dorcas shout, "Try it this time!" There was a click. There was a whir. Then Jacob roared. The sound bounced around the cave of the shed. It was so loud and so deep, it wasn't really sound at all, just something that turned the air hard and then hit you with it. Gnomes flung themselves flat on the trembling deck of the cab. Grimmer, clutching at her ears, saw Dorcas running across the floor, waving his hands. The team on the accelerator pedal gave him a who-us look and stopped pushing. The sound died down to a deep rumbling. That still had a feel-it-in-the-bone quality. Dorcas hurried back and climbed, with a lot of stopping for breath, up to the plank. When he got there, he sat down and rubbed his brow. "I'm getting too old for this sort of thing," he said. "Anyway, it's ticking over nicely. You might as well take us out." "What? All by myself?" said Grimmer.
"Yeah.
Why not?" "It's just that... well, I thought Sacco or someone would be up here." "I thought a male gnome would be driving," she thought.
"They'd like to," said Dorcas. "They'd love to. And we'd be zipping all over the place, I don't doubt it, with them crying yippee and whatnot. No, I want a nice, peaceful drive across the fields, thank you very much. The gentle touch." He leant down. "Everyone ready down there?"
There was a chorus of nervous yeses and one or two cheerful ones. "I wonder if putting Sacco in charge of the go-faster pedal is really a good idea," mused Dorcas. He straightened up.
"You're not worried, are you?" he said.
Grimmer snorted.
"What, me? No, of course not. It does not present a problem."
"OK, let's go." Grimmer took a deep breath.
"First gear," she bellowed, "and go forward very slowly."
The teams pushed and pulled. There was a slight shudder, and the engine noise dropped. Jacob lurched forward and jolted to a stop. The engine coughed and died. Dorcas looked thoughtfully at his fingernails. "Handbrake, handbrake, handbrake," he hummed softly. Grimmer glared at him and cupped her hands round her mouth.
"Take the handbrake off," she shouted. "Right, now get into first gear and go forward very slowly."
There was a click and silence.
Start the engine,"
murmured Dorcas, rocking back and forth on his heels. Grimmer sagged.
"Put everything back where it was and start the engine," she screamed.
Newty, in charge of the handbrake team, called up,
"Do you want the handbrake on or off, miss?" "What? You haven't told us what to do with the handbrake, miss," said Sacco.
The gnomes with him started to grin. Grimmer shook a finger at him.
"Listen," she snapped, "if I have to come down there and tell you what to do with the handbrake, you'll all be extremely sorry, all right? Now stop giggling like that and get this thing moving quickly."
There was a click. Jacob roared again, and started to move. A cheer went up from the gnomes.
Right, said Grimmer, that's more like it.
The doors, the doors, the doors. We didn't open the doors, hummed Dorcas.
Of course we didn't open the doors, said Grimmer as the digger began to go faster. What do we need to open the doors for? This is Jacob!
It was a very old shed. The only thing even vaguely knew about it was the padlock on the door, which Jacob hit at about 6 miles an hour. The building rang like a gong, leapt off its foundations, and was dragged halfway across the quarry before it fell apart in a shower of rust and smoke. Jacob emerged like a very angry chick from a very old egg, and then rolled to a stop. Grimmer picked herself up from the plank and started to pick bits of rust off herself.
"We've stopped," she said, her ears still ringing. "Why have we stopped, Dorcas?"
He didn't bother to try to get up. The thump of Jacob hitting the door had knocked all the breath out of him.
"I think," he said, "that everyone might have been flung about a bit. Why did you want it to go so fast?"
"Sorry," Sacco called up. "Bit of a misunderstanding there, I think."
Grimmer pulled herself together.
"Well, I got us out anyway. I've got the hang of it now. We'll...
Dorcas heard her voice fade into silence. He looked up. There was a truck parked in front of the quarry, and three humans were running towards Jacob in big floating bounds. "Oh, dear," he said. "Didn't it read my note?" wondered Grimmer out loud. "I'm afraid it did," said Dorcas. "Now, we shouldn't panic. We've got a choice. We can either..."
"Go forward," snapped Grimmer. "Right now."
"No, no," said Dorcas weakly. "I wasn't going to suggest that."
"First gear," Grimmer commanded, "and lots of fast."
"No, you don't want to do that," Dorcas murmured.
"Watch me," said Grimmer. "I warned them." Jacob gathered speed.
"You can't beat humans," shouted Dorcas above the roar of the engine. "They're too big. You're too small." "They may be big," said Grimmer, "and I may be small, but I'm the one with the giant truck with teeth." She leant over the plank. "Everyone hang on down there. This may be rough."
It had dawned on the great slow creatures outside that something was wrong. They stopped their lumbering charge and very slowly tried to dodge out of the way. Two of them managed to leap into the empty office as Jacob bowled past.
"I see," said Grimmer. "They must think we're stupid. Take a big left turn. More. More. Now stop."
"Okay." She rubbed her hands together.
"What are you going to do?" whispered Dorcas.
Grimmer leant over the plank.
"Sacco, you see those other levers?"
The humans' faces appeared at the dusty windows of the shed. Jacob was 20 feet away, vibrating gently in the early morning mist. Then the engine roared. The big front shovel came up, catching the sunlight. Jacob leapt forward, bouncing across the quarry floor and taking out one wall of the shed like ripping the lid off a can. The other walls and the roof folded up gently, as if it was a house of cards with the ace of spades flipped away. The digger careered around in a big circle, so that when the two humans crawled out of the wreckage, it was the first thing they saw, throbbing with a big metal mouth poised to bite. They ran. They ran almost as fast as gnomes.
"I've always wanted to do that," said Grimmer in a satisfied voice.
"Now, where did the other human go?"
Back to the truck, I think," said Dorcas.
"Fine, lots of right, Sacco. Stop. Now, forwards. Slowly. Can we sort of stop this and just go now? Please," pleaded Dorcas.
"The human's truck's in the way," said Grimmer, reasonably enough. "They've stopped right in the entrance."
"Then we're trapped."
Grimmer laughed. It wasn't a very amusing sound. Dorcas suddenly felt almost as sorry for the humans as he was feeling for himself. The humans must have been having similar thoughts, if humans had thoughts. He could see their pale faces watching Jacob lurch towards them. They're wondering why they can't see a human inside, he thought. They can't work it out. Here's this machine moving all by itself. A bit of a puzzler for humans. They reached some sort of conclusion, though. He saw both truck doors fly open and the humans jumped out just as Jacob... There was a crunch and the truck jerked as Jacob hit it. The knobbly wheels spun for a moment and then the truck rolled backwards. Clouds of steam poured out. "That's for Nicodemus," said Grimmer.
"I thought you didn't like him," said Dorcas.
"Yeah, but he was a gnome." Dorcas nodded. They were all, when you got right down to it, gnomes. It was just as well to remember whose side you were on. "May I suggest you change gear?" he said quietly.
"Why? What's wrong with the one we've got?"
"You'll be able to push better if you go down a gear. Trust me." Humans were watching. They were watching, because a machine rolling around by itself is something that you do watch, even if you've just had to climb a tree or hide behind a hedge. They saw Jacob roll backwards, change gear with a roar and attack the truck again. The windows shattered. Dorcas was really unhappy about this.
"You're killing a truck."
"Don't be silly," said Grimmer. "It's a machine, just bits of metal."
"Yes, but someone made it," said Dorcas. "They must be very hard to make. I hate destroying things that are hard to make."
"They ran over Nicodemus," said Grimmer. "And when we used to live in a hole, gnomes were always being squashed by cars."
"Yes, but gnomes aren't hard to make," said Dorcas. "You just need other gnomes."
"You're weird." Jacob struck again. One of the truck's headlights exploded. Dorcas winced. Then the truck was pushed clear. Smoke was billowing out from it now, where the fuel had spilled over the hot engine. Jacob backed off and rumbled around it. The gnomes were really getting the hang of him now. "Right," said Grimmer. "Straight ahead." She nudged Dorcas. "We'll go and find this barn now, shall we?"
"Just go down the lane, and I think there's a gateway into the fields," Dorcas mumbled.
"It had an actual gate in it," he added. "I suppose it would be too much to ask you to let us open it first."
Behind them, the truck burst into flames. Not spectacularly, but in a workmanlike way, as if it was going to go on burning all day.
Jacob rolled unopposed down the lane. Some of the gnomes started to sing as they sweated over the ropes.
"Now then," said Grimmer, "where's this gateway?"
"It's just before you get to the car with the flashing lights on top," said Dorcas slowly. "The one that's just coming up the lane." They stared at it. "Cars with lights on the top are bad news," said Grimmer.
"You're right there," said Dorcas. "They're often full of humans who very seriously want to know what's going on. There were lots of them down at the railway."
Grimmer looked along the hedge.
"This is the gateway coming up, isn't it?"
"Yep." Grimmer leant down.
"Slow down and turn sharp right," she said. The team swung into action. Sacco even changed gear without being asked. Gnomes hung like spiders from the steering wheel, hauling it around.
There was a gate in the gateway, but it was old and held to the post with bits of string in proper agricultural fashion. It wouldn't have stopped anything very determined, and it had no chance with Jacob.
Dorcas winced again.
The field on the other side was brown soil. Corrugated earth, the gnomes called it, after the corrugated cardboard you sometimes got in the packing department in the store. There was snow between the furrows. The big wheels churned it into mud. Dorcas was half expecting the car to follow them. It stopped instead, and two humans in dark blue suits got out and started to lumber across the field. The field ran gently uphill around the quarry. Jacob's engine thudded. There was a wire fence ahead, with a grassy field beyond it. The wire parted with a twang. The humans were still following. Out of the corner of his eye, Dorcas saw flashing lights on the main road far away. He pointed them out to Grimmer.
"I know, I've seen them."
Another wire fence twanged. There was shorter grass up here, and the ground curved. And then there was nothing but sky, and Jacob speeding up as the wheels bounced over the field at the top of the hill. Dorcas had never seen so much sky. There was nothing around them, just a bit of scrub in the distance. And it was silent. Well, not silent at all because of Jacob's roar, but it looked like the kind of place that would be silent if diggers full of desperate gnomes weren't thundering across it. Frantic sheep ran out of the way.
"There's the barn up ahead, that stone building on the horizon,"
Grimmer began. Then she said, "Are you all right, Dorcas?"
"If I keep my eyes shut," he whispered.
"You look dreadful."
"I feel worse."
"But you've been outside before."
"Grimmer, we're the highest thing there is. There's nothing higher than us for miles, or whatever you call those things. If I open my eyes, I'll fall into the sky."
Grimmer leant down to the perspiring drivers.
"Right just a bit. That's it. Now, all the fast you can. Hold on to Jacob," she shouted to Dorcas as the engine noise grew. "You know he can't fly."
The machine bumped up on a stony track that led in the general direction of the distant barn. Dorcas risked opening one eye. He'd never been to the barn. Was anyone certain there was food there? Or was it just a guess? Perhaps at least it'd be warm. But there was a flashing light near it, coming towards them.
"Why don't they leave us alone?" shouted Grimmer. "Stop!"
Jacob rolled to a halt. The engine ticked over in the chilly air.
"We can't go back," said Grimmer.
"No."
"Or forwards?"
"No."
Grimmer drummed her fingers on Jacob's metal.
"Have you got any other ideas?"
"We could try going across the fields."
"Where would that take us?" said Grimmer.
"Away from here, for a start."
"What's going on up there?"
Sacco yelled up.
"We ought to tell people," Grimmer whispered. "Everyone thinks we're going to the barn."
She looked around. The car was closer, bumping heavily over the rough track. The two humans were still coming the other way.
"Don't humans ever give up," she said to herself.
She leant over the edge of the plank.
"Some left, Sacco, and then just go steadily."
Jacob bounced off the track and rolled over the cold grass. There was another wire fence in the far distance, and a few more sheep.
"We don't know where we're going," she thought. "The only important thing is to go." Maslin was right. This isn't our world.
"Perhaps we should have talked to humans," she said aloud.
"No, you were right," said Dorcas. "In this world, everything belongs to humans, and we would belong to them too. There wouldn't be any room for us to be us."
The fence came closer. There was a road on the other side. Not a track, but a proper road with black stone on it.
"Right or left," said Grimmer.
"It doesn't matter," said Dorcas, as the digger twanged through the fence.
"We'll try going left then," she said.
"Slow down, Sacco. Left a bit. More. More. Steady at that."
"Oh, no."
There was another car in the distance. It had a flashing light on the top. Dorcas risked a look behind them. There was another flashing light there.
"No," he said.
"What?" said Grimmer. "Just a little while ago, you asked if humans ever gave up," he said. "They don't."
"Stop,"
said Grimmer. The teams trotted obediently across Jacob's floor. The digger rolled gently to a halt again, engine ticking over.
"This is it," said Dorcas.
"Are we at the barn yet?"
a gnome called up.
"No," said Grimmer. "Not yet. Nearly."
She looked thoughtful. "If we drove as hard as we could at that car coming towards us," she began.
"No," said Dorcas. "It really wouldn't solve anything."
"It'd make me feel a lot better," said Grimmer. She looked around at the fields.
"Why's it gone all dark?" she said. "We can't have been running all day. It was early morning when we started out."
"Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourselves," said Dorcas gloomily.
"Just look, will you?"
Darkness was spreading across the fields.
"It might be an ellipse," said Dorcas.
"I read about them. It all goes dark when the sun covers the moon, and possibly vice versa," he added doubtfully.
The car ahead of them squealed to a halt, crashed backwards across the road into a stone wall, and came to an abrupt halt. In the field by the road, the sheep were running away. It wasn't the ordinary panic of sheep ordinarily disturbed. They had their heads down and were pounding across the ground with one aim in mind. They were sheep who had decided that this was no time to waste energy panicking when it could be used for galloping away as fast as possible. A loud and unpleasant humming noise filled the air.
"My word," said Dorcas weakly. "They're pretty damn terrifying, these ellipses."
Down below, the gnomes were panicking. They weren't sheep. Every gnome could think for itself. And when you started to think hard about sudden darkness and mysterious humming noises, panicking seemed a logical idea. Little lines of crawling blue fire crackled over Jacob's battered paintwork. Dorcas felt his hair standing on end. Grimmer stared upwards. The sky was totally black. It's all right, she said slowly. Do you know, I think it's all right. Dorcas looked at his hands. Sparks crackled off his fingertips. It is it? That isn't night. It's a shadow. There's something huge floating above us. And that's better than night, is it? Said Dorcas. I think so. Come on, let's get off. She shinned down the rope to Jacob's deck. She was smiling madly. That was almost as terrifying as everything else put together. They weren't used to Grimmer smiling. Give me a hand, she said. We've got to get down so he can be sure it's us. They looked at her in astonishment as she wrestled with the gangplank. Come on, she repeated. Help me, can't you? They helped. Sometimes when you're totally confused, you'll listen to anyone who seems to have any sort of aim in mind. They grabbed the plank and shoved it out of the back of the cab until it tilted and swung downwards to the ground. At least there wasn't so much sky now. The blue was a thin line around the edge of the solid darkness overhead. Not entirely solid. When Dorcas's eyes grew used to it, he could make out squares and rectangles and circles. Gnomes scurried down the plank and milled around on the road below, uncertain whether to run or stay. Above them, one of the dark squares in the shadow moved aside. There was a clank, and then a rectangle of darkness whirred down very gently, like a lift without wires, and landed softly on the road. It was quite big. There was something on it. Something in a pot. Something red and yellow and green. The gnomes craned forward to see what it was. Dorcas clambered down awkwardly onto Jacob's oily deck. It was empty now, except for the bits of string and wood that the gnomes had used. There was some sort of excitement going on outside, but he didn't pay it much attention. He reached out and patted Jacob. Well done, he said. Sacco and Nuti found him sitting with his head against the cab wall, staring vacantly at his feet.
Everyone's been looking for you, Sacco said. It's like an aeroplane without wings. It's just floating there in the air, so you must come and tell us what makes it go.
Dorcas groaned and allowed himself to be helped to his feet. He took a last look around the cab. It really went, didn't it? He said. It really went very well, all things considered. For his age.
The machine? Oh, yeah, well done, said Sacco. But,
Nuti pointed upwards. Dorcas shrugged. Oh, I'm not bothered about that, he said. It's probably Masklin's doing. It's probably that flying thing he went off to get.
But something's come out of it, said Nuti.
Dorcas sighed. Always one thing after another. He patted Jacob again. All right, he said. Show me. It was in a metal pot in the middle of the floating platform. None of them knew what it was except for Grimmer, who was staring at it with a strange, quiet smile on her face. It was a branch from a tree. On the branch was a flower the size of a bucket. If you climbed high enough, you could see that inside it, held with its glistening petals, was a pool of water. And from the depths of the pool, little yellow frogs stared up at the gnomes.
"Have you any idea what it is?" said Sacco.
Dorcas smiled. Masklin's found out that it's a good idea to send a girl flowers, he said.
Yes, but what is it?
I seem to remember it's called a bromeliad, said Dorcas. It grows on the top of very tall trees in wet forests a long way away, and little frogs spend their whole lives in it. Your whole life in one flower. Imagine that. Grimmer once said she thought it was the most astonishing thing in the world. Sacco bit his lip thoughtfully.
Well, there's electricity, he said. Electricity is quite astonishing. Or hydraulics, said Nuti, taking his hand. You told me hydraulics was fascinating.
Masklin must have got it for her, said Dorcas. Very literal-minded lad, that lad. He stared from the flower to Jacob, looking small and old under the humming shadow of the ship, and felt suddenly quite cheerful. He was still tired enough to go to sleep standing up, but he felt his mind fizzing with ideas. Of course, there were a lot of questions, but right now the answers didn't matter. It was enough just to enjoy the questions and know that the world was full of astonishing things and that he wasn't a frog. Or at least he was the kind of frog who was interested in how flowers grew and whether you could get to other flowers if you jumped hard enough. And just when you got out of the flower and were feeling really proud of yourself, you'd look at the new, big, wide, endless world around you. And eventually you'd notice that it had petals around the horizon. Dorcas grinned. "I'd very much like to know," he said, "what Masklin has been doing these past few weeks."